Welcome all.
It is now 9 o'clock, Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. I want to welcome all of you to the Santa Maria County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. This meeting is being called to order, so please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Huss.
Dear Lord, thank you for another day. We pray for moisture. We ask for your wisdom and strength for all we face today. We are grateful for your guidance for every decision we make. Thank you for your many blessings, and with gratitude, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join me on the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Mr. Dornacap.
Commissioner Huss.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez is absent.
Yes, Commissioner Luis Lopez is a bit under the weather, so approval of the agenda, Mr. Dornacap. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a motion to approve it?
Move for approval of the agenda.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Well, welcome again. Good morning. Before we get into the official part of the meeting, I want to take a moment of personal remembrance on behalf of, I want to have a moment of silence from all of us in Los Angeles County on behalf of Mrs. Patricia Peach Vigil, former Las Animas County Clerk and Recorder, a friend to many, a mother, a wife, a daughter. Our thoughts and prayers are with her family, so please join me in a moment of silence. Going to go to section two. She's going to be missed. We're going to go to section two, consideration of minutes. Regular meeting minutes as of November 15, 2022. Commissioner Tony, oh, wait a minute. I want to go to the, oh, never mind. My mind just took me to a different place this morning, but consideration of the meeting minutes, November 15, 2022. Any questions, Commissioner?
No. Move for approval of the regular meeting minutes of November 15, 2022.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Consideration of special meeting minutes of November 21st, 2022. Commissioner Huss, any questions on that?
None. Move for approval of the special meeting minutes of November 21st, 2022.
I second that.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Consideration of the regular meeting minutes for March 21st, 2023. Same protocol, Commissioner Tony Huss?
No comments. Move for approval of the regular meeting minutes for March 21st, 2023.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Consideration of special meeting minutes for March 9th, 2023. Same process, Commissioner Tony Huss?
No comments. Move for approval of special meeting minutes for March 9th, 2023.
I second that.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Consideration of special meeting minutes March 27th, 2023.
No concerns. Move for approval of special meeting minutes for March 27, 2023.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Section 3, reading of correspondence, Commissioner Committee reports, Commissioner Tony Huss.
On the 22nd of March, I attended the Health Board meeting. And a really good presentation by Eric Bell with One Health Insights. He did a slideshow, and it was had to do with the COVID primary objective. It was a survey And what he identified was whether the perception of the public health changed due to the COVID response, and also assess familiarity with the public health programs. And 66% said the perception had changed due to COVID. 55% was positive. I relied on the health department to guide me through the pandemic. 39% were negative, the perception of government overreach, and they did a bad job of keeping them informed, is one of the comments that they made. Then on the 23rd, DOLA and CCI had a Proposition 123 stakeholder workshop meeting that I attended with the housing affordability, where the baseline is established and other scenarios. $100 million for affordable housing will become available in the second half of 2023. Funding will be overseen by DOLA and the Governor's Office of Economic Development and International Trade, and may be granted or loaned to nonprofits, community land trusts, private entities, and local governments. Organizations are only eligible for funding if their project takes place in cities and counties that are working to increase their affordable housing stock. Also on the 23rd, CDA, the Colorado Department of Ag, had a check-in with CCI and the Ag, Wildlife, and Rural Affairs Committee, and Kate Greenberg, Secretary of Agriculture, was there. And she informed us that she's been following WOTUS closely and working on a water plan. They're keeping tabs on the steamboat weather, so you can't even see the top wire on most of their fences up there. There's so much snow. And the stark wildlife death rates, and they realize that their livestock producers are going to need some emergency funding. And so the livestock assistance program is helping at this time. And there's a possible request. She's looking at a request to Secretary of Ag, Commissioner Vilsack, for the Secretary of Disaster designation for the whole area. And then on our end, we're the opposite. We're in a drought, terrible drought. And we're looking for immediate relief to this drought and the programs that will help us with that. And one of my comments, she said at this point, they don't see any direct relief, immediate relief. And I said, what about opening up our CRP lands for grazing in those areas to allow them to graze that property? And I think that they'll probably move forward with that. On April 14th, anybody interested, there'll be a webinar, Disaster Emergency, and CPW will be addressing a wolf reintroduction plan. Timeline is for May, and we're looking really hard at making sure that the 10J rule is in effect. And the question was asked of Jordan Beasley, the Deputy Commissioner of Ag. He was the one doing the presentation. Have they found a reliable source of income for the depredation at this time? And he said there's a bill that will be introduced that they expect around $300,000. That's not going to go very far, in my opinion, when cows are worth $1,500 a head. And my question to him is, this going to be a annual allocation that'll happen every year? And they don't know if they're going to work on it. Okay. Then on the 24th of March, CCI had an emergency land use meeting for focusing on Senate Bill 23-213. And this bill is an unfunded mandate to address housing needs. The main theme focuses municipal zoning laws and establishes a multi-agency advisory committee that requires the committee to conduct a public comment hearing process to provide recommendations to the director on developing state, regional, and local housing and a needs assessment, creating housing needs plan, a menu of affordability strategies, another menu of displacement mitigation resources and measures, and it identifies strategic growth objectives. In my opinion, this is another mandate to the county with an appointed board that will have governance over a local elected governance. So I'm not in favor of that one either. To me, it's much like the WUI, the Wildland Urban Interface Bill, which I testified to on the 22nd of March. I forgot to, in opposition. Also on the 24th of March, CTSI had their board meeting and reviewed what was making the most impact to their financials. And the law enforcement attributes 80% of the losses, $13.6 million. And by the way, the HR interviews are underway.
Good.
On the 27th of March, NACO Agrile Affairs had their meeting. Basically, this meeting was to highlight their sponsors. So the presentation from the Farm Credit Council by Brittany Jablonski. To support rural communities and ag with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. It was created in 1916 with $315 billion portfolio on farm credit lending. Also, Feeding America by Vince Hall, the Chief Government Affairs Officer, 60,000 different large entities that depend on food banks. On the 28th of March, we all traveled, all three commissioners traveled to Evergreen to listen to a presentation on seismic activity. And I can't remember the guy's name now, Michael Haswell.
I can't remember his last name, Michael.
He's an expert in the field, and because there was a lot of individuals blaming the gas and oil industry for the earthquakes that have been recently happening, he said that's not correct, that the gas and oil industry is not doing this. We live in a seismic fault area that surrounds the Wauhatoyas and generates outward, the fault lines generate outward like the spokes of a wagon wheel. He told us that it's been occurring for many years and that the gas and oil has not, and the fracturing and the produced water injection does not contribute to that at all. Then on the 28th of March also, I had a meeting with former Governor Bill Ritter. It was a siting meeting, the perspective on siting clean energy. Members present were BLM, Nature Conservancy, New Energy Community, the Audubon Society, Western Resources, and there was a presentation by Chris Mendes, Energy Siting Coalition. So they want to accelerate the deployment of clean energy. My comment was to them, I wish we would slow down and go at it at a more slow pace, because in my experience, when you get in a hurry, you make mistakes. I'd like to see this, instead of trying to introduce this in 2025, where we were total green energy, why don't we slow down and extend this out for a 10-year period so we don't make those mistakes that we're going to pay for in the future. Okay, and Michael Hastings, that was his name. I found it here. That's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. A lot of the meetings, as Commissioner Tony has mentioned, we pretty much attend, so I'm not going to bore you with some of the details. I wanted to clarify on Senate Bill 23-213. Tomorrow we're going to be having an emergency meeting. Colorado Commerce Incorporated is calling an emergency special meeting so we can take a position. And I'm hoping that we have enough votes. We need to have 65 to take a position either of amend, oppose, or support. And in the conversations, we were on the phone pretty much yesterday for quite a long time, visiting with both Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated. And one thing that we are discovering, that this is bad legislation for Colorado, is going to create I kind of haven't found my dates, as Commissioner Tony has mentioned. So tomorrow, we're having a meeting at 3 p.m., and hopefully we'll have enough votes to send a message to the individuals and the Goldome that we are opposed to this legislation. So we'll keep you posted on that. I had a meeting with Primero School District. They're starting a civics course, a civics class. It's going to be a nine-week class. They reached out to, of course, to State Representative, Senator, CPW, BLM, farmers, ranchers, hunters, so on. So they're putting this curriculum on basically an outdoor education, outdoor legislation for students from the fourth grade on to be able to understand, I believe it's fourth or sixth, one of the two, to understand how county government, how state government, and how government really works, because apparently we have not had that support and or curriculum at schools for quite some time. So very interesting, and I was invited to, when the curriculum is up and running, to the three county commissioners from this particular county to go do a presentation. So what's happening on various perspectives. One of the points that we touched upon was even DHS. Do they understand, students understand how DHS works, how is it funded, so on and so forth. So it's going to be interesting. Another meeting that that we've been having is the opioid settlement region 19. We are up to our gills with RFPs. We are now requesting vendors to provide services. And Ms. Gonzalez, if you have some time later on, I think a lot of the services that we could award out there, you might already be providing. So one of the recommendations I actually did is, let's chat with our local public health and see what services we could provide through, rather than sending the money to other places. But so under treatment, we are allotting approximately $764,000. For recovery, we have about $509,000. Harm reduction, we'll be appropriating $255,000. And for criminal justice, roughly $255,000. So we have RFPs under each one of those categories that we went through. So we have a RFP review committee. And in the last few weeks, we have been spending quite a long time. In fact, last Friday, we were on a meeting pretty much into the late evening hours, just going through the process. We're inviting these vendors to come and present to us as the awarding committee. Tell us about your company. Why should we award your company? And what are some of the most key salient services that you're going to be providing? And because we are a region, we're asking them, what about, of course, my song is, what about San Luis County, right? Why should I really put the money elsewhere since we're part of a region? So we are getting a ton of good information on that. Also attended the fire chiefs meeting last week, the local fire chiefs, and once again, the big concern is the wind and the drought. Secretary of the Interior, Vilsack, did put a letter, 23 counties under extreme drought in Southeast Colorado. And so we have a memo that came directly from Washington, D.C. to Governor Polis that was actually circulated. And in it identifies pretty much any county, to include Los Angeles County, Huerfano Pueblo, El Paso County, Elbert County, and all east. And you'll see when you watch the weather, all that section under emergency conditions on a drought. So they're having a lot of problems on the western slope with snow. I wish we can get a little bit of that on this side. Also, I'm on the National Association of Counties on the Immigration Reform Committee. I attended a meeting last week, and there is just on that particular group through the National Association of Counties. It's a pacifier what we hear when we get updates from Washington, D.C., that all is well at the border. So I made a request from our friends at the National Association of Counties to join me. I have reached out to Attorney General Phil Weiser in Colorado to send a letter to the White House I also reached out to Governor Polis, who, by the way, hasn't responded. And also, I asked the National Association of Counties to join me in sending a letter to the White House, secure the border and stop and stop the flow of fentanyl. So didn't go too well. I don't think we have the support in there, but certainly those are very, very interesting meetings when we hear that all is well. And so certainly we're losing a lot of lives throughout the United States due to fentanyl. And I also may mention that our public health director have brought that up to our attention, that Las Animas County is now being impacted with fentanyl, which it could be of a higher proportion if we do not pay attention to that. And that would be my report. I mean, we have a whole lot more information, but we have a meeting to get back to. So I'm gonna call on a public elected officials update. Ms. Amaro, you're in the room. Would you like to provide us with an update?
Always.
Thank you. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners and board. How's everybody on this windy day?
A bit windy.
A bit windy. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up our reval. We are making the final adjustments. We would like the public to know we are sending out notices of evaluation in May. Be looking for them. Please, if you have any questions, contact the assessor's office. We are seeing values across the county go anywhere from 20 to 60% increases. So please come see us. The reason for that is we had the highest market that we have experienced in my 21 years in this building. So we are definitely seeing market increases. Commercial staying flatline, but our residential vacant land, those classifications of land are going up. Currently, I've been in contacts, meetings and had contact with Colorado Assessors Association and our lobbyist. There is a lot of scuttlebutt right now about getting some tax relief to property taxation. And so there's some bills in the pipeline. We have not seen them yet, but we have heard of them. There is one that could possibly go to ballot, which we are very concerned about, that it will change the complete way assessors do our job and how we do our jobs and how we value the county, and it will have an impact on how all entities are funded. It currently looks like and reads that we will not be able to increase anything above a 3% cap. Currently by state statute, we have to use a 18-month or a 5-year period to do data collection in order to value. So it's always fluctuating, and we work in arrears, so we're always using historical data. That was the intention of setting it up legislatively that way, or by law that way, was to ensure steady maintain, we can maintain it and have a steady line for schools for their funding as far as local property goes. This could really impact a lot of our entities if this goes to the ballot and if it is voted through by the general public. We will keep our eye and ear on it. It's, as you all know, when things at the legislative, at the end of this session come up, things get very hectic and it doesn't give us a lot of time to do a lot of defense, but we are trying to stay in front of it. So I will keep you all informed.
Lots of information. And again, I think even I sent the bill 213 online, maybe also reaching on to the assessors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so some of these bills, unfortunately, we get them and we just have to deal with them. The problem being is we have to go back to our software companies, and it's going to impact us because we're going to have to pay out money to change or adjust software systems to accommodate and implement these new laws.
Well, thank you so much for that update. Thank you. Do we have anyone from the clerk and recorder, Scary Apple? Any updates from the Santa Ana County Treasurer, Ms. Leonetti? Any updates from our Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Navarrete? Any updates from our District Attorney, Mr. Henry Solano? Any updates from County Coroner, Mr. Junie Berger? And any updates from our county surveyor, Mr. Terry? Seeing none, we're going to go to section five, public comment. We have this morning one signed up, Ms. Kim Gonzalez, Huerfano County Public Health Director, Public Health Month. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today. This week, we are celebrating National Public Health Week, which is April 3rd through April 9th. This is actually an opportunity for everyone to learn more about public health and how we support communities. We've been trying to do this for the past 4 months now with our rebranding, but this week will really emphasize more of public health. The theme this year is centering and celebrating cultures and health, feeling like we belong and being part of communities and fostering cultural connections supports the health and equity of our lives. As we celebrate the 28th National Public Health Week, we want everyone to know and make their communities healthier, safer, and stronger as we support each other and stay engaged with one another. As we adjust and adapt to our new social norms, we're focusing not on just what we can do as individuals, but what we can do as communities to protect and prioritize and influence the future of public health. We have daily themes for public health that are initiated through National Public Health. Monday is community, Tuesday is violence prevention, Wednesday, reproductive and sexual health, Thursday, mental health, Friday is rural health, Saturday is accessibility, and Sunday is food and nutrition. As we are focusing on public health, as Commissioner Haas mentioned, we did a survey back in January that was pushed out between two counties, both Los Angeles and Huerfano County, to get the perspective on where public health is in the two communities, how we can make ourselves a better opportunity to support our communities. How do we get out there and show the different programs that we actually have? And so, for example, on some of our new rebranding, we've really pushed out increased communication in both newspapers, social media, and radio. We've done this in both English and Spanish. January was Radon Month. February, we did Heart Health Month, which really pushed that we have blood pressure units at the health department that people can check out for their in-between blood pressure checks. And then we send their results over to the actual clinics. And that was part of a long amount of grant through hypertension and diabetes that we've done for 6 years now. March, we've really pushed out our women, infant, and children WIC program, which is 0 to 5. And then we also pushed out our Bonpins Life Skills, which we do within our school districts in both counties, which are going really well. April, this month is National Public Health Week. It's National Infant Immunization Week at the end of April. And then also we're pushing out our Reach Out and Read program, which we give all children books in both in the health departments as well as our medical clinics as they come in for immunizations. Going forward, we're continuing to update our website. I don't know if you've been on there yet, but every month as we go through a different program, we're really trying to build up what our public health website looks like. In addition to working with the School of Public Health on an NIH grant and CU Anschutz with Claudia and Mara and Megan Bean on an anti-stigma campaign for both communities that created culturally sensitive information and posters built by your community going forward. That information is on our website. We're going through a community study to see actually right now what our community feels, which is the best posters out there. Then moving forward, we'll create toolkits for both businesses, hospitals, and schools with this to focus on mental health and substance use going forward. Our goal going forward in Public Health Week and throughout the year is informing the community about more of the programs we offer outside of COVID. Everybody looks at public health as COVID, and we want to get out of that limelight. We still are handing out COVID tests, still testing within the clinic, and we are still vaccinating, but we do a lot more. We have we do A1Cs with the health department, we do blood pressures, we do child immunizations, adult immunizations, we do anti-stigma, mental health, we do radon, of course, our retail food, childcare inspections, marijuana inspections, Alzheimer's, water inspections, STI testing and treating, which is sexually transmitted diseases, and a whole lot more. So please visit our webpage, follow us on Facebook. We are trying to really push out public health. We were excited to see the feedback and engagement that we received from the community in our survey, which really helped us focus on how to move forward in our public health rebranding. And going forward, we're going to really focus on the efforts of our public health improvement plan, which includes obesity, mental health, and substance use. We will be doing a community health assessment again in 2024 to create our next five-year plan. We're going to work towards really building our core public health services and finding opportunities to build more partnerships within our community and support more services. And lastly, I would just like to thank all public health professionals, my staff, who have supported public health for many years and stuck through the past 3 years, and all of those supporting public health. And lastly, I would like to say happy National County Government Month. Thank you.
Congrats on doing a great job of getting out there and letting the public know that we aren't just COVID. And it showed in the survey.
Thank you.
Kim, is there a way that you measure how many visitors you have on your website?
Actually, yes. We have, because our website is through, we built that through the SIPA grant that we received years ago, so it's through the government. We're able to count how many users with the Google Analytics on the back end. And so that's what we've been doing, not just with our public health rebranding, but also with the anti-stigma campaign material. And then we're also doing that on Facebook as well. Yes.
And the reason I'm asking to see what the participation was pre-COVID and now, and what are some of the comments that you're receiving. And also, what is your budget for this rebranding campaign?
We put in about $80,000 into the budget, and that's for an individual to help us with the marketing and developing that material, in addition to newspapers, radio, and then we do push out some, boosting with Facebook. And we were fortunate to be able to fund that out of grants and contracts.
And is that unique to Los Angeles County, or do you think every public health entity throughout Colorado is doing the same thing?
I think they are trying to do it, and it might be in different ways right now, because we all are trying to change the trajectory of how public health is seen in the community in a more positive way. We were really taken down in the past 3 years, and so now how do we build public health back up? And then additionally, how do we build that public health workforce back into public health that we lost the last 3 years? And so that's a big push over the next couple of years too, is building workforce and a lot of workforce funding and training coming into public health.
Thank you so much, and I'll follow up with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else signed up for public comment? Okay, thank you. And anyone online, which I don't see many participants online this morning, so we're going to go to section 6, unfinished business, consideration of human resources, information services, RFP. Mr. Doran Kemp.
Commissioners, the board tabled this item at your last meeting. It's for SaaS, Software as a Service. Mm-hmm. HR services is, in essence, those types of services that help us with our, what they now term, onboarding, tracking applicants, and employee expense reimbursements, and a number of other services that are not a service where we can actually call in to a assistant that we would be paying for, as we are with paychecks right now, to ask a question. These are services that are provided in the cloud and online. And we also have training with them, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd ask the board to consider offering these services to Tyler. I submitted an RFP a month or two ago, got all the results back in, and I'd be recommending this to the board. If I can kind of draw an analogy, it's similar to, we're a bit familiar with Paychex, it's similar to Paychex's Flex program, where there's actually not a human to talk to, but there's all these other services. There's trainings and tracking of the trainings. And like I said, the onboardings, the offboardings, the pay reimbursements, applicant tracking, etc.
So when I looked at the contract total, you have proposed, am I looking at the right number, 16,000, pretty much the overall amount of the contract, which also includes the all the financial management suites, the onboarding, so on and so forth?
It does, and then our annual will be a little over 11,000.
Yes, and I see that. And so what would happen in this particular case, Mr. Dorenkamp, and I know Commissioner Tony Hess is working directly with CTSI on their HR module that eventually I think they'll bring it online. Will we, on the language of the agreement, I know there is an exit clause on this particular contract. If CTSI were to offer the same services for equal or less than, would we be able to exit out of this contract and join onto the other one?
I believe it's a one-year contract.
Yes, sir.
And the reason, and Commissioners, I jumped the gun here, I believe we need to remove this item to take it first. I forgot to.
Yeah, and I was going to ask for that motion. I think right now as we're going through
discussion,
the question.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The reason we chose, the reason we're recommending Tyler is because we're using Tyler for, in essence, everything else. Tyler's payroll on Tyler, or accounts payable, we're using Tyler. And this would mesh seamlessly with our current software. To answer your question, well, we have CTSI come on board. What I would envision CTSI helping us with is those phone calls. You know, if something comes up and we need to make a phone call, like we're currently engaged with Paychex to do, we need to make that phone call and say, we've got this issue, can you help us through this issue? That's where I envision CTSI helping us. I would not recommend if CTSI comes out with these SAAS program that we use CTSI again, because I don't. My simple way of thinking is the more we have outside sources, third parties, etc., trying to mesh into our current software, the more chance there's going to be of, frankly, a disaster happening. And the more likely it'll be that these databases that these other third party companies are going to be maintaining will not be secure. We know Tiger's secure, we're comfortable with Tiger. And right now, for our call-ins, we're using Paychex at a high price, I would put it politely. And we are actually looking at other firms that provide the same type of service. And one I want to be talking with tomorrow is called Employers Council. And I want to thank Health Director Kim Gonzalez for forwarding that information to us, because price that we're looking at through Employers Council is about 90% less than what Paychex right now, based on the same service. So, not being an HR aficionado, we're struggling, but we're making our way through this.
Very good, very good. At this time, let me, to continue on the conversation, let's go ahead and remove off the table item 6A. I'll step down and I'll make the motion to remove from the table consideration of human resources information services RFP.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Hogan?
Yes. So one thing, if you go with me to page 93, I think that's going to be of 227 on the packet. We have a letter here from UKG. It's a memorandum addressed to Mr. Dorenkamp, Ms. Coverley, and Brandy Bowman. Is this and then at the top of this, there is a comment. I think it was inserted by county personnel. Do you see that?
Yes.
Would you walk me through those price and 20,000 concurrent users, 23,700 annual, and total 40,700?
If the board selects to go with UKG, the total initial price will be $40,700. And Tyler's is $16,000 and change.
Very good.
Annual is $23,700. What concern is, one of the concerns about UKG is concurrent users, they have a 20,000. When I asked them what a concurrent user is, I didn't get a very good answer. They couldn't tell me if that is a worldwide usage, that only 20,000 can use their software at the same time, or if that is per entity. Whereas with Tiger, we don't have to worry about that. There's no cutoff point as concurrent users. You can have as many users on there at one time as you, as a, frankly, as a go wants to.
Very good. So it is your recommendation to consider Tyler as the provider of these services. One other question, Mr. Durancan, that I have here. I believe this entity also is going through a couple of legal lawsuits. Would that in any ways impact the services that they would be providing to Los Angeles County?
They say it will not. And I think each one of the respondents to the RFP have been in mitigation out there. So
yes.
It just must be par for the course with these types of services.
Thank you, sir. And I know we have a counsel online. She has read the contract. Do we have any concerns on that counsel?
Good morning, Commissioner. No, I have no concerns with the Tyler agreement.
Thank you so much. Questions, Commissioner Cummings has?
Just a comment. Thank you for answering or asking that question concerning CTSI and their HR, because I've been pushing pretty hard on the executive team to get that reinstated. I think about 12 years ago, they took it offline because it wasn't the individual that was running that program wasn't doing his due diligence, and they just never revisited it. Now that there's an interest with lots of rural counties that need this service, I have been pushing pretty hard to get that. And Mr. Dornkamp and I had a very lengthy conversation about the very question you asked yesterday. And so with that, if you would like, I would make the motion, please. I move to approve the award of Human Resources Information Services, the RFP, to Tyler Technologies.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
6B, discussion and consideration of the allowance to use Los Angeles County's byway match funds for either the byway or the TAP grant. Mr. Durancamp, and or we have Ms. Malone in the room.
Commissioners, again, the board tabled this item at your last meeting.
I make the motion to remove it from the table.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Go ahead, Ms. Malone.
Good morning and thank you, Commissioners and Board.
Good morning and
thank you also for the nonprofit grant that the City Highway Legends has received as well. We'll use that for operating because we are required by the state to attend certain educational classes and attend meetings, annual meetings and whatnot, and educate our board members via webinars and whatnot. So we have out of pocket even though we're all volunteers, it seems like we need money, so we really appreciate not having to worry about that. Thank you. I don't know if you want me to begin. I don't know for sure where you are at. I guess one thing I want to remind us all is that 1 year ago when we were meeting about this, we were all hoping that we could have some money to build some signage along the scenic highway of Legends. It was something that we saw a grant that would probably cover the cost to make that first step of the Pell Plan a reality. And that's kind of, you know, I want us to just kind of go there and figure out what would you want to change from where we are today, or what questions?
Yeah, so, you know, I personally, what I'm going to, we agreed a year ago, you came to us and Los Angeles County Grid proposed this to support this project, this worthy project to do a wayfinding through Highway 12, which will be the loop, the 80-something miles that go from Trinidad all the way to La Vida. I think, you know, given all the information that has transpired, we know that things are going to change. The commitment at that time from Warfino and Los Angeles County, I'm going to speak on behalf of Los Angeles County, of the $58,500, I believe, my personal opinion, and is that I would support and honor that recommendation, but I don't think, from Los Angeles County perspective, I would be willing to support any other additional funding. So I know we're putting a little bit of pressure on the board, of which I also serve on that particular board, to find the differential. So when we look through the budget, I think you and Mr. Dorian Camp exchanged a lot of information, of which I did not intentionally read, because I did not want to be, if you will, influenced or biased with that information. So as I look at the entire document here, it's just part of one of the things that I personally do, not yet the information that was sent to him, it's for his information to send it back to us. So my recommendation personally would be to honor the initial commitment, but I don't think I would support anything beyond that.
Meaning the administration,
that is
the
correct.
Financial administration.
That is correct.
And I would concur with those findings.
And why is that?
Because, you know, here is the thing, is we're in the midst of a budget. It is Los Angeles County. Right now we have, even though it's only $12,000, that's what you said, in addition, we were looking for $12,000. I'm looking at project management of $80,000, which for me, I don't know what that means. So maybe perhaps the $80,000, somebody's gonna get paid $80,000. I'm also looking at the financial administration of $37,500, which between the two, it's $117,000, if you will, of somebody earning dollars through the project. Could we not, through the board, decrease the project management and also the financial administration to also, and I don't know where from the county would be at, but to adjust the $12,000 and reduce that from either one of those line items that you have provided to
right.
us?
Well, let me tell you, I have tried.
Okay.
And maybe if I just explain a little bit more. First of all, I was told when you do CDOT work, it doesn't matter if you're doing a single pole sign or if you're building a bridge, they go through the same process. They must have the same specifications. All the metal will be US made. Every nut, every bolt, everything will be from the United States. Just working, then they also recommend people that were actually talk to get the bids on the sign. They do national park signage. They know how the national government works. They know what's expected. And so we're not going back and forth and figuring that out as we go. Project management is your one-stop shopping. You would not have anything to do on this project except receiving reports from financial administration and the project manager, who's in charge of everything over what could be a 3-year period. So that's that. Also with CDOT, any drawings for any of this We must have an engineer or an architect do it, even though we could simply do it, of course, but it's just not the way things are done. Every piece of property has to have right-of-way surveying, sometimes dug out and refilled with different dirt if it's not correct. So they make it hard. it makes the cost very high, but that's their requirement. And the good news is they're paying 80% of it, as opposed to so many grants where you do have to do a 50-50 match.
Sure.
COG set that price. They thought it was in the industry a fair price. It's 7.5% of our original $500,000. It'd be a little bit less now because...
Which line item are you talking about?
Now it's not on this budget at
okay.
all. It's
okay.
not in this budget.
You're talking about the 7.7% that they would be doing on...
Yeah, that $37,500
sure.
now that we need to find somewhere else, yeah. And that is our two counties, South Central
sure.
Congress of Government. That's what they put it at, and you know, I didn't really challenge them, honestly. You have members on their board, but that's what they decided was what they needed to do it. We do need someone like them to handle the money. I
sure.
wouldn't want, you know,
anyone. You know, and again, please understand, this is nothing. I'm looking at the mobilization and labor cost of $78,000.
Pardon me, which one?
The mobilization and labor cost of $78,000. Who's mobilizing for $78,000? I can really mobilize a lot of equipment. I don't know that.
It's coming from Texas.
Okay.
And it's had all the signage.
That's the delivery fee, but I had that question too. And we had a conversation, Mr. Dornkamp and I, about maybe. Is there any way that we could do an in-kind contribution to like the signage, to put up the signage?
That's, no.
No?
No. Sometimes they give you a short list, sometimes they just tell you, you'll work with this contractor, or they're available and they fit our requirements and our ours. Now, let me just go specifically here. Mobilization and labor costs, yeah, so that's, yeah, moving in here instead of putting it up.
Yeah.
And that's not including the surveying, which is separate.
Yeah, when you look at the architect, engineer, design, and the surveyor, that's 20% of the project. Then you have administration and project management, that's another 25%. Then mobilization, that is about 17%. To me, and this is my fiscal hat that I have as a county commissioner, some of these line items are
extravagant.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and the design fee, that here is the one thing, and I'm not, please, you're the messenger. You're the messenger here.
And I'm not doing a good job of messaging, but maybe either of us, but this is, again, you know, this has been, this proposal, as it was for the Highway Administration, bylaw was run through the state.
Yes.
And that was one of the reasons we were selected to be the second proposal to go to Washington from all the Colorado proposals that were submitted, was because our costs were in line and they felt like we weren't going to run out of money. So things, you know, they are so seeing how things are going, and that squeeze going, we might not accept your application if you come in much less, but you know, they accepted this. But I am just a messenger. I don't really, you know, I love the byway. I hate spending money. My brother always says I got the first nickel I ever earned, but it just seemed a little shocking to me too. But
And the Native American consultation for $42,000, what does that entail?
They're not giving it away anymore. We're going to have an education. and they'll be helping us with the writing and research of the area and any archaeology that's around here, and they'll just be involved with the project so we get it right. We've talked a lot about the Indians and the lore and the legends of the byway, but a lot of that was made up by Mr. Spore Leader back in the day to make an attractive place to come and visit too. So they just want, they want to correct.
So we have that history catalog. I mean, we have a college in the county.
It's a backup.
I guess to me the bottom line would be, I think personally the county is in a support mode for the initial agreement that we had a year ago.
Right.
And so that is my opinion. My question would be, I'm on board 100% on that.
Okay.
And that's where I think, so what would happen to the project if the additional dollars would not come from the San Luis County? But, you know, here you have the federal source is basically, in a sense, $400,000. The total proposed income is $513,000. So when I do my simplistic calculations, I'm going through this thing. Project Managed Financial Administration, once again, that is over 25% just on those two. Then I throw in the architect, the surveyor, and the Native American consultation, and that's another 30%. So between the two, now you have very little for the deliverables of the project. That's my...
I know. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And others have felt the same way, but... this is also why we don't have signage. We can't just do that without this background. They're very interested in knowing that we're paying, you know, a Native American to help us with our, you know, communicate our story. They just, their requirements are, again, it doesn't matter if it's a bridge or a sign, it's always the same.
And the audio tour, the signs, we know we're gonna get 29 of the 54 in Los Angeles County, correct?
Right.
And then the audio tour, is that going to be a kiosk along the way?
No, it's a geo GPS app on your phone. You download the app. It knows where you are. The voice comes on. You just have to have it activated. We currently have it in English, and we're going to update a couple of spots. We said at the time that the outline was closed on our audio tour, and there was one other mistake that we would correct, and then we would have translated into Spanish and redone. And that's a straight, those are just straight costs, right, from the quote from the company, Travel Stories, that does that. Well, I think we both, I don't know, I don't really have any more, I guess, I can offer you. So I respect your decision and like having partners. Any other questions?
Your last comment was, we cannot be partners?
No, I like having you as a partner. Yes,
thank you.
I don't know what's going to happen without the administration, but I've got a couple of weeks to figure it out for the final.
Well, here's the thing, Deb. I don't know. Again, I think Los Animas County, we as the group of county commissioners, are very supportive of this whole thing. And in a sense, we're coming up with $58,500. That at this point in time, because our budget is set, our year is set, I don't want to go back, and that additional fund is, in many instances, that commitment was done probably about a year ago, am I correct? Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
So I think we do have the honor system, in which I personally think we are going to go that direction.
Okay. Well, and you may not have realized this, but actually even that helps us a little because the price went down when we took out the your part went down 7.5% when we took out administration fees. So in this new document that you have, I think it's a couple thousand dollars less. But if you would commit to the old amount, that helps too.
Very good.
I think
the agreement that we had, make the motion from a year ago, Yes, I...
We'll just do an invoice or...
Yes.
Documentation for that to
Yes.
to cut the check. We'll make something documentation.
Sure, and you may not have to do that till next year.
Yeah, so...
See where we go here.
Okay, thank you, something.
Mr. Roaring Camp, any additional information, any questions, any comments?
No, sir.
Okay. So then I'm gonna be, I'll step down as chair and I'm gonna make the motion, consideration of the allowance to use Los Alamos County Byway match funds for either the Byway or the TAP grant. And I am gonna make the motion to award the $58,500.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes, thank you so much. Okay. And at this time, we have to, the next section seven, we have to go, that is listed on the executive session. Am I correct, Mr. Roaring Camp?
Yes, sir, it should be.
So we're going to postpone section seven, and I think what, do we need to table that?
We can bring it off the table and make it properly.
So moved.
So 7A, we're going to lay on the table the consideration of courthouse retaining wall change order 22C005 number 6 with the items attached. I second that motion.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Okay, section 8, financial matters, consideration of bills and payroll for the second half of March 2023. Finance Director Poverty.
Payroll as of March 31st is $187,196.21. Do you have any questions on payroll?
No, ma'am.
Invoices paid on March 22nd. $747,712.15. Within this packet, we paid fuel for $10,199. Also within this packet is the nonprofits of $120,000. Fisher's Peak Grant Study, $22,099. Let's see, we had our annual maintenance fees for the treasurer, for Tyler, for the assessor, for the clerk. Our courthouse phase two project. I think this is the final, but we did retain some of it before, like we did the exit, for $418,737.20 to Will Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's anything else you have, any questions or anything else that I might have missed?
The only question, I was looking at the utilities, city of Trinidad utilities. Is there a way, what was the percentage of increase? I know this just a tad higher.
It's quite a bit higher.
Yeah, I went back and I looked at the last month's bill and looking at this.
Can you look at that?
Will.
She can look at that.
Okay.
Because she gets the bill and she can look
okay,
at
very
see,
good.
Like, the average of what the percentage that went up.
Just kind of an FYI for me.
Okay.
Okay. Those are the only questions that I have. And I know you have all the nonprofits in here.
We do.
So we appreciate.
I know you'll see 10 of them at 1 o'clock today.
Yes, we're looking forward to that. Any other questions Commissioner Tony has?
No.
I'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of bills and payroll for the second half of March 2023.
Thank you. I second the motion.
Commissioner Peterson, please?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
And at this time, we're going to suspend this meeting and go into executive session. However, legal counsel is tied up at the moment, so let's go ahead and go through the motion of going to executive session as soon as she finishes the engagement that she has. So, yes. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Are we okay?
We are, Commissioner. If you'd like, we can go into executive and address the topic that is on our council, which would be item E under CRS 2464248.
Okay, so.
But I would like Finance Director Coburn to.
Absolutely, that would be fine. Section on executive session, the board will meet an executive session under CRS 2464248. Purchase, acquisition, lease, transfer, or sale of any real, personal, or other property interest. Item A, cameras, and CRS 2464204B, conferring with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions, retaining Walt. So at this time, motion to go into executive session.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes. And 10-minute recess.